This is Nick Yurick, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week on the show, we are joined live via Zoom from sunny Los Angeles, California by Jess Falstick.
Hi!
Thanks also for quarantined.
Yes.
Also very quarantined. Well, we're happy to have you back on the show. It has been entirely too long.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited to be back on the show. I was hoping to do it in person when I came home, but Lord knows if anybody will ever be able to interact in person again. So,
yeah, I mean, this whole social distancing is actually working out for me, so I don't have to really see anybody that I don't want to.
Yeah.
The only problem is like everybody knows where you're at, so if they want to talk to you, like, there's only so many times you can be like, "I'm sleeping" or "I was sleeping."
Yeah.
Before they're like, "You're full of shit." I'm like. Or like, I looked on your Instagram and it said you were online 15 minutes ago. Like, oh, sorry, I don't get notifications on my phone. Like, it was working out for the most part, though.
Yeah.
Like, you're so in demand, Jordan. Shut the fuck up.
That's what I was just thinking. I was like, no one cares where I am that much to even stalk my shit. So,
like, it's mostly people I'm related to. Like, those are mostly the people I want to ignore anyway.
I get that.
Yeah. Welcome.
It's just work trying to get a hold of me, and that's it.
Do you still have to go to work?
I am currently working from home, which I hate, because sitting on the couch is not the best place for me to get work done.
But, not that kind of work.
Well, you know, I can crank a few out, but I'd rather not.
I worked from home for 7 years, and 7 years of it, I fucking hate it. I like this right now, but 7 years sucked, and I couldn't do it after a while. So this is
how long you been working at home now?
I've only been here a week. I've only been working home a week now.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So it hasn't gotten you yet. Before we go on, what did we talk about last time you were on the show?
So we talked about, I hated people in new relationships, which was funny.
Oh, that's right.
Relationship. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. And then you and BJ became friends.
It's true. I've had 4 years to reflect on this now, which is crazy to think about.
And we've been doing that this long.
Yeah. Cause it was right after I started comedy and that was 2016. So I think Jeremy was right. I think my hatred at that point was more of flaky people than people in new relationships. It was just people who were in new relationships tended to be flakier. So
that's fair.
That's right. We move on to a different topic now. Jess, why do you hate Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude. So if you had actually asked me this like a month ago, I probably would have said I don't hate Schadenfreude. But since the world has literally gone to hell in the last 4 weeks, more than it already was, I feel like it gets weird to really, and for anyone who's not familiar with Schadenfreude, it's a German word for like taking pleasure in other people's misery. So in this case, having so much misery in the world, I don't think any of it's really enjoyable right now. And the fact that people are still doing it in various avenues, I think that's hard for me because like I'm an empath to like an unhealthy degree, so I start like getting really like I start feeling bad for like there have been times I've noticed in my life if it's a certain time of the month I will feel bad for inanimate objects, like that's how like empath like on roids I am. So I think at this point, at least at this point in history, who knows, 4 years from now, I may have another self-reflection when I'm back on and say, like, fuck everyone, we should laugh at them and their misfortune. But right now, I'm hating Schadenfreude more than I think ever. So that's a long way to explain that.
I mean, but there's got to be some moments right now where you're just like, this person is a piece of shit, and I'm glad they're having a terrible time with quarantine.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. So I think, here's the other thing, and I thought about this too. I hate Schadenfreude as it relates to most of the general population. Let's put it that way. There are people, and I think there's probably varying degrees as well. If I'm being completely honest, if like millionaires right now, like, you know, lost a bunch of their money, like really mean, awful ones, like, you know,
white people,
Trump and Bezos and those sorts of things. Like, I wouldn't be sad if like they lost like half their fortunes or even, you know, a quarter of their fortunes. I wouldn't be sad. And again, there's levels of it. Like, I wouldn't ever want to see someone like tortured and dragged through the streets. And again, people are going to disagree with me, obviously, on this. This is just my weirdo empath, like heavy, like there are levels. And I think at this point, if bad things happen to bad people, I don't know that I'd revel in it, but I don't know that I'd also feel bad or feel sad or feel sorry for them. And that's the thing. Overall, I think Schadenfreude, I definitely have reveled in it. I've definitely participated in it. I've definitely derived some enjoyment from seeing someone get their karmic comeuppance, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I think that's different. I don't know why. Maybe it's not. But like in my head, Schadenfreude has always kind of had this like sociopath connotation a little bit, where it's like you're actually deriving pleasure from like innocent people's pain, and it probably isn't. But yeah, like to me, there are definitely arguments to be made of, you know, I have definitely been like, well, that's what you get. Like, I've definitely been that person before.
Yeah, but that's different than actually like taking abject pleasure in it and going like, ah, now I feel good.
Right.
All right, so I guess I might be on the other side of this, which probably, I mean, I am a sociopath, so it's whatever. But I saw a thing online, it's maybe a year ago at this point, and it was like what your favorite pop punk band is and what it says about you. Like, everybody knows my favorite is Alkaline Trio, so I scroll down, of course they're on there, and it says, watching Kevin's chili scene from The Office is your most is your best coping mechanism. And that is the most accurate thing the internet has ever said about me without knowing me. So I might be on the other side of this one.
Okay, so this actually digs really, like, I'm so glad you said that, because this is so, like, this brings up such a good point. So, okay. You're right.
So now I'm starting funny, to rethink
everything already, and it didn't even take 4 years. Well, so actually, the Kevin office chili scene, I always feel so bad for Kevin. Like, I his face is so sad. Like, he's just
Chelsea
so sad.
Chelsea covers her eyes and ears when I put it on. She's like,
it's
I can't
so
do
sad.
It.
So here's the thing. When I know that the people are okay, that's when it's fucking hysterical to me. So here's where I'm so glad you brought up The Office. Yesterday, I took an edible. I went out and I sat on my porch, and I swear to God, for a half an hour, I kept rewatching the fire drill scene in The Office where, like, everybody loses their mind, and I'm crying. Like, I'm just sitting there, like, heave sobbing on the patio over how funny it is. But I think it was because you knew, like, it was just Dwight being an idiot. Like, no one was actually going to die. And yeah, people were actually scared and all that shit. But, like, I don't know why that shit is so funny to me. Like, that is so fucking funny when it's just, like, chaos. You know what I mean? When it's just absolute chaos. That shit is hilarious to me. And maybe that makes you really bad.
That whole show is kind of like the whole basis of it is like what we're talking about. It's like the first cringeworthy TV show when it's just like, oh, how could you? Like, we were talking about it. Michael and Dwight would have been fired like the first season, like 12 times each.
Yeah.
But that whole show is just based on like somebody else's shame. Like, I 100% believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's weird. So I think it probably would help if I sort of pinpointed a couple of the things that have annoyed me that kind of made me feel like I am not such a big fan of Schadenfreude, especially this last month. One of them, this is really dumb, and this is not meant to shit on things that people love. So when people get really into enjoying the misery of, like, unintelligent poor people, specifically as it relates to Florida Man, yeah, or as it relates to Tiger King, when you start to revel in sort of like, these people are just dumb and poor and have had really horrible lives, and that's really funny to you, and you start really enjoying that, that feels icky to me.
Tiger King wasn't poor.
I don't know. I actually don't know. I was reading, Zachariah Dura posted something about, like, he didn't like the documentary thing where the guy was just reveling in the fact that these people were really, like, insane, and these people were really crazy, and they were, like, you know, like, the woman showed up in, like, this crazy outfit, and he was like, oh, yes, she's in, like, she's wearing the most perfect thing for, you know, television's sake. He said that kind of felt
she easy. Also killed her fucking husband and fed him to tigers. Fuck that.
See, lady. I haven't seen it. So, but I think
your
it kind of echoes.
Is uninformed.
It echoes back to, like I said, the Florida Man thing. Like, I think for a while, I think the Florida Man stuff was really funny. But then, like, the guy who did the Florida Man Twitter account, like, he basically said, I'm not posting anymore, and this is why. And he did, like, this sort of, piece on where he was just like, you know, who these people are and where they're coming from and the lives they live and the fact that, like, we're deriving enjoyment out of, like, their poor life choices, and we don't know them, and we don't know, and a lot of times it's not even like they've done anything, like, they haven't killed their spouses, they haven't harmed their children, they're just really stupid. And it's hard to be like, you know, well, Darwin, like, I can be that well, Darwin person when people are doing the coronavirus challenge and licking subway poles, but, like, I can't be that person just because the person, like, was, like, really didn't know any better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes and no, because, like, the reason it's Florida Man is because apparently all of the, I'll use another German word, Untermenschen, all seem to end up in Florida, and they're all idiots, and they're all drug addicts. I know, I have family down there. I was a drug addict. I know what it's like. They're terrible people. Like, the best idea I've seen online in the last week was somebody's like, I propose a new border wall, and it's like, from the bottom of California all the way across, like, halfway through Georgia, that's where we build the border wall. Like, all the way through Texas, like, just that part can go. So, I don't know.
I want to say how much I love... Oh, what are you going to say, Shira? Sorry.
I was going to say all the Florida hatred is just veiled anti-Semitism.
Oh, that's shut really the fuck up. You're not taking Florida away from me, too.
I really love how much this show has become about Jeremy's Semitic identity these days. It really makes me happy. Because it was something that would get brought up once in a while, but now, like, every episode now, it's like we come back to that, and I love that. That makes me so happy. I think it's great, first of all, what I wanted to say is Ubermenschen. Is it Ubermenschen? Is that what you said?
Untermenschen.
What does it mean?
Yeah, it's a subhuman. It's what the word the Nazis used to use for. I've been watching a lot of World War II stuff in my downtime that we've had. And that was the one I learned.
Okay.
It means subhuman.
I love that Germans all have, like, I love that there's, like, this, Germans have words for shit that, like, doesn't exist in, like, any other culture. Subhuman is kind of, it's just funny, like, subhuman is, I mean, if that's, I get what that means, although I think that terminology has much more of, like, a punch behind it than just calling.
Well, only because you understand it. Like, if you think about it, Untermenschen is, like, way more, like, demonic in nature. It's
right.
Like,
right.
Like, let's kill all these people. Like, no, bro.
Yeah, but, yeah. That's what I mean, like, that you get into a slippery slope about, like, when you start to develop apathy to a degree of amusement, you get into a slippery slope of, you know, do you care about people's lives? Not that I'm saying everybody wants everybody to die. I think I get really, like, hyper weird about, like, I don't want people to die. I just wish they wouldn't be stupid. You know what I mean?
Yes. Go ahead, Sheer. You go ahead.
I definitely revel in people suffering and dying. I know exactly what it says about me. Like, I have deep-seated issues with humanity. But at the same time, that's at a larger scale than watching, you know, one particular person suffer, depending on what they've done.
So you're pro pandemic?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to see how many, because if you look at the numbers, it's the rich people in Cleveland that are getting hit with this. If you look at like at zip code by zip code, it's all the suburbs. Like, there's in my zip code, there's one person that's gotten it.
Oh, cool. One.
And like,
yeah, neither of us live in good areas. So
yeah. Yeah, we're all being okay about everything here, you know, where we're poor and we can't afford to get sick. But, you know, the upper middle class are being wiped out, and I'm fine with that.
So a question on that. Is it when you say, like, the upper middle class are getting it, are those, like, confirmed cases?
Yes.
So do you think maybe it's because they have access to the tests?
That's a possibility. Yeah. But they also, early on, decided that they were only testing high-risk people in Ohio. Yeah. Like, you couldn't go and pay for a test.
Even though they developed the test here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
They made the test here in Cleveland, but we can't have it.
Yeah. That's what I was saying for a while. Like, they kept coming out with, like, Tom Hanks has it, Idris Elba has it, you know, all these people have it. And I was like, from a PR perspective, is it something you really want to brag about that you have access to these tests and other people don't? I feel like maybe you just keep that on the DL. Like, don't.
Really. Well, Chelsea and I were talking about, because like the singer of Rammstein has it, and apparently he's not in good condition. And like, me and her were talking about it, and it, like I said, she's like, oh, that sucks. I was like, absolutely. But I was like, when this all started happening, and like, you know how they're trying to flatten the curve and everything, that I was like, don't be surprised if you see more and more like public figures getting it. They're way more susceptible than people think. Like that one basketball player who, this kind of harkens back to what we're talking about. That one basketball player did a press conference, and like, to be funny, touched every mic that was at the press conference and then got it. So
is that what that was? Because I could not figure it out. I was like, wait, did he have it already when he did that? Because that's just an asshole thing to do.
No, he didn't have it. He was trying to be funny and be like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. And now he's got it.
Oh, geez. Well, karma. Yeah,
so like, ha-ha, fuck that guy.
Karma. I mean, so here, again, like, I am 100% on board with, like, karmic justice as far as, like, you do shitty things. Especially when there are people legitimately sick with this and you think it's funny. Like, I don't wish you dead. I don't wish you suffering, but you get what you get when, like, you fuck with, like, you know, I don't know, when you derive pleasure from other people's, like, shit that they're going through. I mean, that's karma. Like, that's what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. If you're licking the subway poles and the toilet seats and, like, I cannot be touched by this, and then you get it, yes, that is karmic justice. But, you know, someone like me that is just like, this is going to wipe out the rich, and then I get it, that's not necessarily karmic justice. It's just like, I guess not everybody's immune.
right. I think, I don't know if it's related to karma. Like, a lot of times, this is why I don't think of myself as a superstitious person, but I knock on wood a lot when I catch myself saying, like, this hasn't happened yet, or, like, this isn't going to happen.
But you're a little stiff.
Yeah, I'm a little stitious, because, like, honestly, I truly do believe, like, there's this weird sort of fate shit that, like, will come after you if you brag too much about how everything's, like, great for you, or, you know, how everything's going great. Because I historically, and it's probably just law of averages, but historically, anytime I have ever done that, like, shit comes to bite me. Like, it just, it does. It always does. When I'm like, everything's going great, like, shit will come back. So I try very carefully not to be the person who's like, everything's going great for me, and everything will continue to go great for me, and nothing will ever stop. And it's just
That's why I don't trust people who are like those people who are overtly positive and positive all the time. You can't trust people like that, like, at all. They're fucking crazy. And there's something more to like their whole, they're, it's like a cult almost. It's fucking weird. Like, don't get me wrong. I believe in like medical cases and situations like this that we're dealing with. Like, yes, there is a time to be positive, but there's also a time to be real. And that's why, like, people who are constantly like, yeah, everything's going to be okay. Like, no, it's not. You're full of shit. Crazy.
Yeah. I think I'm obsessed with Ginger Moore's Instagram. Has she been on the show before?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm obsessed. She's got a counselor Instagram page. And it is one of, even before all this shit went down, it is one of the healthiest, most interesting Instagram pages. I can't remember the handle, but I'm sure we can find it. And it really has these amazing sort of, like, she'll post two or three times a day, just like, hey, if you feel like you're gonna fucking freak out, that's okay. Like, don't push it down, don't shove it down. Like, here's ways to process, like, all the shit that's going on in your head, and like, if you're feeling this, and like, you know, she talks a lot about trauma and all that stuff, and just, I don't know, like, it's just, it's really helpful to me to see that sort of, like, allow yourself to be human in a healthy way, you know.
Notion. Yeah, it's just not sexy to be human. It's sexy to be positive, though. And that's where you see this cult of positivity stuff coming up.
Cult of positivity.
Yeah, it's a thing, man. Like, people have developed their whole persona based on always looking on the bright side and always, you know, talking about the good things that are going on and clinging to them like some sort of life preserver that's going to stop them from drowning in the sea of terribleness that is life. But that is not how things work. And I consistently see people that are overtly positive take a big step back, and it takes them a while to crawl back to that little bit of positivity that they had. And I don't revel in that, because, like, I know that at the core of being that positive, you're very sick, and this is just a way to cope.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree with both of you. I think, and I know you were saying it's sexy to be positive. I think, though, this might be like my weirdo optimism. Our culture, our generation is definitely starting to sway more towards reality. Like, I think reality, like, being realistic is becoming a much bigger virtue to, you know, being your true self, being your honest self. I mean, it's why I love you guys. It's why I hang around like a lot of comedians, because you guys don't really like, you don't pretend. Some comedians just go straight to everything shit, and I can't handle that. But
yeah.
I definitely seem to flock toward people who are more self-aware and honest, and, you know, they don't unload at all, but they definitely show like, hey, I'm going through shit, and, you know, and I'm okay with that. And that, to me, and I think for a lot of people, are just, it's, that to me is more sexy than, you know, being like you guys said, just like, everything is fine, being like sunshines and rainbows and motivational posters. Like, that to me is just, it screams volumes that you're repressing shit, that you're not in touch with reality. That, you know, you're not, that you're ignoring the reality of what's going on around you when everything is positive, everything has to be positive all the time.
Yeah, it really only reaches out to the other people in that cult.
Right. Well, I mean, that's, I was going to say, like, that's when you, when people are like that, I just want to give them a copy of, like, the thing for the Monty Python part from Life is Brian. Always look on the bright side of life, when Jesus is, like, hanging from the cross and singing that and whistling. Like,
yes.
Some people don't get British humor, and I understand that, but, like, that is, like, a perfect way to, like, show people, like, you're full of shit, dude.
Yes. Oh, you God, can't I be love Monty Python.
Like, people who are legitimately suffering, like, and it's always, like, a Christian-based thing, too. Like, I've noticed, like, when people like that are suffering, they're like, oh, this, you know, God's got a, you know, good good way of working things out, or he works in mysterious ways, blah, 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 all this bullshit. Like my mom, for example, who is like, you know, she's a fine, healthy lady. She, you know, she raised four kids, be it good or bad. And she constantly, like, you know, has always been poor. You know, I grew up poor. We just were. I'm not ashamed of that by any means. But my mom will constantly be like, well, you know, the other shoe's going to drop. It's like, I mean, are you, like, hanging with a one-foot hopping God? Because, like, he's an asshole if you believe that he has any fucking say over what you do. Like, that's why, like, my dad's crazy, but at least my dad was, like, real enough with me to be like, hey, God doesn't pay your fucking bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think.
One-foot hopping God did pay your bills, though.
If he did, I'd be a believer. Dude, I would build him another leg if he wanted it. Like, I, you know, I don't care. Jesus was a carpenter.
I want to join one-legged Jesus religion. Can we start a religion called one-legged Jesus?
I'll have to move some things around with BJ for the Church of Jericho. But yeah, I think we should probably figure something out.
We can combine them. It can be like Jericho and then one-legged Jesus. It can be like the Super Friends. Like, we'll just have all these different deities that are like derivations.
Yeah, like President Jericho and God Jesus, one-legged God. Like 2020.
And you make offerings of artificial legs and shoes.
No, I was literally going to say that. People will have the leg lamps. Leg lamps will be the new crosses. They'll just be like the one leg, and that'll be in your church.
And instead of it being an offering, it can be an offerman, because he does work with wood. Nick Offerman can build all of it.
Ah, shit.
This is a celebrity religion, kind of, but like, whatever.
I love it.
Well, it worked for Scientology. I don't see it.
I was going to say that.
I mean,
we'll start the next Scientology.
Sheer, you kind of look like a young L. Ron Hubbard.
I'm gonna write a science fiction novel about hopping one-legged Jesus and how he healed the sick with his stump. And it's going to be sell millions of copies.
Can you imagine him rubbing his stump up against people like, here you're
eat of my flesh for his lucky.
Oh my God. We can have instead of Dianetics, we can have Pionetics.
Yes.
You know. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You and deal then, with your past trauma through pi.
But we will also give Shear his own Dianetics so that he can kill people like unopposed.
Oh, I thought you were making a fat joke and calling it Dianetics, but
no,
Dianetics. No. That's so much better, because I was like, oh, Pionetics, fat joke, but Dianetics is so much better. I think.
Oh man, hey, have you hung out with Clem at all while you're in LA? How far do you guys live from each other?
Okay, listen to this. I don't know if he's going to want me to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So it's fine. He didn't actually do anything. But, like, so I got cast. So I'm in this position now where, like, I've been doing so many student films that now, like students call me. Like, they want me to be, like, in their stuff so they don't have to go through, like, the casting process, because I'm reliable and somewhat of a good actor and whatever. And so I got a call, and they were like, hey, we need you up in Tarzana, which, like, so basically I got a call on Tuesday to do this film in Tarzana, which if you're in Cleveland, that's like saying go to Beechwood. Go to, like, you know.
It's okay. Sheer knows.
Yeah, it's not far, but that's not meant as a demographic thing. It's meant as a distance.
Well, you're talking about Hollywood, dude. So.
Right. So, you know, it's they're like, you know, hey, can you come up to Tarzana? And, you know, that's like a 45-minute drive. It's not that bad. Like, it's not bad. It's annoying, but it's not that bad. And I was like, yeah, cool. And they were like, okay, cool. We're gonna shoot in Tarzana Friday night, and here's what the plot of the film is. And we need other actors. So if you know other people who act, you know, please reach out to your actor friends and see if they're interested, because we're not even going to cast. We're going to trust you on this. So the plot was that I'm on this date with this guy at his house. We're like Netflix and chilling. We start making out. We go to the bedroom. And then all of a sudden a...
Is this a porn?
No, but it, I did actually have to be... I actually had to take my shirt off for it, which was like kind of like... That was the first time I ever had to do that.
What's the name of this movie?
It's called Trapped. I actually have a copy of it if anybody wants to see it. I actually have the copy. But yeah, so his lover actually like comes to his house like in the middle of all this and like is trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. So they send me this script and I'm like, oh shit, okay, like this guy's girlfriend comes home, whatever. So I direct message Clem because I'm like, all right, Clem's new out here and he probably wants like to start doing film stuff. So, you know, I'm going to see if he's interested in doing this film. So he's like, yeah, Tarzan is not far. Like he's in Burbank, so it's even closer for him. And I was like, yeah, you know, the only thing that you need to know is that there might be some making out involved. Like, I hope that's okay. And he was like, I mean, it'll be weird, but it won't be the end of the world. It's
that's such a Clem thing to say.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, yeah, cool. All right, so I'll let you know, like, the location and all that shit. Well, about half hour later, the girl writes back, and she's like, okay, so we'll see you up in Ventura on Friday at, like, 7. So Ventura, if you want to, like, do a distance comparison, that's, like, Canton. So people are like, so we just went from, like, Beechwood to Canton. And it's like, you know, Friday night. So the traffic ended up being like 2 hours for me to go from my house to Ventura. And so I was like, oh shit. Okay. All right. I can do Ventura. I guess that's cool. By the way, like which, cause there was two girls in the script and it wasn't clear like which one they wanted me to be. And I was like, which one am I, Chris or am I, cause it was like Chris with a K. I'm like, which one am I, Chris or, I don't remember my character's Gina. And she's like, oh, you're Gina. Chris is a guy. And I was like, oh, so the guy I'm making out with has a boyfriend? And they were like, yeah. And then he's going to start making out with that guy while you're in the closet. And so I write Clem back. And I was like, so two things. One, this is actually going to be in Ventura. So I don't know if you want to drive to Ventura. But number two, you would have to make out with a guy. And he writes back, he's like, yeah, Ventura's kind of far, but thanks for thinking of me. I really appreciate it.
I mean, and that's certainly no indictment of Chris and, like, his beliefs or anything. But like,
not at all. Not at all. But, like, the thing was, he hasn't done any films. That would be his first film coming out here. And I feel like that's a lot. Like, that's a lot. Like, even just to ask him to make out with, like, his friend that he barely knows back from Cleveland is a lot to ask. But then to make out with, like, a random strange man is, like, a whole other can of
bullshit. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. And, like, I mean, we did our thing with Sad Boys. And it's just, like, it would have been super fucking weird if, like, Dickhead would have wrote, like, I kissed you on the cheek or something. That would have been fucking uncomfortable. And then to find out, she was like, oh, wait, no, it's Yurik. You got to kiss Yurik on the face. Like, that's a different thing, man. That's a different thing. I need to be in. I'm an actor, and I would do it, but like, I need to be in a headspace for that. You can't just be like, "Hey, I need you to be somewhere Saturday." Also, you're gonna suck some guy's dick. Cool.
Right. It was a lot. It was a lot to ask, and I was just like, you know what? That is completely fine. Like, I don't judge you at all. Like, I literally came into it, and I was like, so, because like, I just knew. I was like, this is a lot to ask of you.
I would have loved to have been like a fly in your head while you were writing and deleting that message a bunch of times. Like, how do I go about this? I'm not. No, that sounds kind of like, no, that sounds like he's homophobic. No. Okay.
I know. And then that was the thing too, is that like, I actually went into my acting class that next week because they still weren't finding anybody. And I was like, so guys, does anybody, cause like everyone's like, hey shit, is there any like roles available? I'm like, actually I'm in a project right now. The guy, it's for a guy. And the guy has to be comfortable with kissing another guy. And like the whole room just kind of went quiet and they were just like, oh, okay. And then no one came up to me like after.
I like how you live in LA and people are still like, I don't know about that, dude. Like, as long as I know I'm not going to catch anything, if I have to kiss somebody on film, I don't care. I may not want to do it, but.
What ended up happening was it was more of like a, I know, like, you know, when on TV or in movies, you can tell, especially in comedies, the people aren't really making out. They're just like doing this with their faces sort of thing. Mm-hmm. No. Like that's what it ended up being. So it ended up being more like we just had our faces like in each other's like shoulders.
Oh, like, sort of like thing. Angela and Andy necking.
Right, 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 right. Like it's not, it wasn't actual kissing or anything like that. And I think it was because too, it's a college production. And I think a lot of times now you need like special Me Too producers on set to make sure that like shit's not going down the wrong way. It's just to cover their asses, really. It's just to make sure like that everyone's comfortable and no one's not comfortable with whatever's going on.
I would have done it, but that's because I have historically been able to disassociate myself, so it doesn't matter who I'm making out with. Until I wake up the next day and like, what the fuck?
with a major boner, like, why am I hard about kissing that guy?
Well, I know why I'm hard about kissing that guy. I'm an excellent kisser, and I'm gonna fuck him in the butt.
Like, when you say it like that, it sounds like we need a Me Too person to, like, you know, hover over this podcast. You can't be like, I'm gonna fuck him in the butt. You want to be like, I'd like to have anal sex with that person if it's, you know, consensual.
No, this is just me being confident. This is confidence.
Confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been me, although I did tell Clem we need to double date when all this shit is over, because like...
Because she still wants to kiss him.
Well, we got out here in like, they got out here in like July. They got here like a year after we did. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I know some people through like work and stuff, but we don't have any couple friends. And I was like, yeah, no, we don't have couple friends either. So we need to hang out.
Oh yeah.
That would be the tallest double date ever.
I know. Everybody's fucking giraffes. Like everyone's so tall.
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
So
this is literally just comedians catching up and making jokes. We're not even talking about anything.
Yes.
I was about to get back into it, Jordan. Like I know how this works. Yeah, nobody can see that. We're only getting the audio, buddy. Okay, yeah, I got you, buddy. I got you. Yeah, fuck me. Fuck me.
I'm just dancing. Like I'm over on my couch just like doing a dance.
Yeah. I'm watching the kitties fight. So
yay, kitties.
Yeah. So you haven't when you're out in LA where it's this, you know, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here when I say it's a culture of fakery. So you don't get a little bit of satisfaction when you're seeing somebody that has worked so hard to put on this persona, have it crushed right in front of them?
So what's interesting is I can't think, and the more we talk, it may come to me, I can't think of a lot of scenarios where I've seen that yet. I will say I've met a couple of like the really fakey flaky weirdos, and I don't know, like they almost kind of, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it comes from a place. The thing I love to talk a lot about, and I think we've talked about it on my show a little bit, is the differences and the overlaps between actors, comedians, and improv artists, and then even that goes into like influencers and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like the thing about hanging around comedians, it's given me a level, being in comedy gave me a level of sort of like, I am not trying so hard to fit in. And the thing I really enjoy about watching those sort of fakey flaky types is that's really falling, like, I don't know, at least in the circles that I run, and that's really falling out of favor. Like it's kind of fun to almost watch them flail to try to be super hip or cool and not, and you're right. I think it is enjoyable to watch. I think ultimately what I want is for them just to see, like, you don't have to be this way. Like, you don't have to like pretend like you're super into astrology or, you know, that you're too cool for school. Like, I would much rather you be like a real person. And it's actually been kind of enjoyable for me to watch like people go from, you know, that fake flaky person into like, oh, there's no one around me that's like this. I can just be myself. You know what I mean? Like, I actually derive more enjoyment. It sounds so goddamn like pious and wholesome. I don't mean to be that person. It's just, I really do derive a lot of enjoyment from watching people realize like, I don't have to be a shitty person. I don't have to be a fake person. I don't have to be a flaky person. Like, no one cares about that shit. Just be yourself sort of thing. And that's mostly what I've seen out here is just the rare occasions I do run into those type of people. What I enjoy is, you know, people being put into their place and realizing out here that just because you have all this money, like you still have to share a fucking space and you still have to like, mm-hmm. you know, you still have to do all the shit that everybody else has to do. Cause I think the number one thing that has driven me insane over living out here is that because there's literally 8 billion people and we're all kind of like, you know, crammed in this space is that no one wants to share their space. And it's like, well, fuck man, don't move to LA. Like, don't be in LA if you don't want to share your space. If you want, like, if you want this whole bike trail to yourself, if you want this whole lane of traffic to yourself, if you want like, you know, if you want all this fucking elbow room, you came to the wrong place. And it doesn't matter if you have billions of dollars, you still have to share this space with everybody kind of a thing. So it is fun for me to watch people who, you know, they can have whatever they want, but no amount of money is going to buy them the space that they need. That's kind of enjoyable.
Okay. But that's less people abject suffering and more with them being annoyed. So I wouldn't.
Yeah. Inconvenienced. I like watching it be like, I like watching people be inconvenienced when they think like their whole world belongs to them. It fucks with you too, because like back home and in most places, I think like you have this very clear understanding of when you're being a reasonable person and when someone else is being unreasonable. But yeah. there's so many entitled people here that you start to question like, oh, am I the asshole? Because they just like things like parking spaces, like you'll be waiting for a parking space and it was absolutely your turn. You'll take it and you'll get out of your car and some guy in a Range Rover will be like, fuck you, bitch. And it's because he wanted that spot and he thought it was his, even though like I was waiting my turn and doing what I was supposed to. And I've had so many like moments of like crisis where I'm like, oh no, was I not supposed to take that space? And there's no one else around to be like, actually, you're fine. That guy was just an asshole. So that like adds to the whole, like, am I the crazy one? Or is it
because that's New York too. That's how New York is. Okay. The same way. It's people like everybody is more important than the person in front of them or behind them. And they have to get there. And if you're a fucking asshole on the way, they'll tell you and they'll just keep going about their day. Before I forget though, and somebody who listens to this show, find me a Yiddish or German word for cultural bakery, because I bet it's going to be offensive.
Cultural bakery.
You're welcome for that one, Shir.
I don't know what you intend by that.
I just think it'll be a fun word to learn.
Okay.
Because I think they had them in Germany, didn't they?
Cultural bakeries?
Think about it.
I have already thought about it. I know what you're getting at, buddy. And
are we just talking about ovens at this point? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think that's where he was going.
I'll let you guys confirm that and not say anything.
I do want to say the thing I think that mostly drove me into like the like, can we stop deriving so much enjoyment out of stupidity thing? The thing that really, 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 really pushed me into this was when that alleged survey came out about people, 38% of people thought Corona beer caused coronavirus or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like people just jumped on that. People instantly were like, people are so dumb. Look how dumb everybody is. Everyone thinks this. And I'm like, but where did this study come from? Like, where are they getting this information? And then you really dug into it and you come to find out like it was such a like hackneyed study from like this group that wasn't like, it didn't really have a lot of like good reputation. Like no one really knew who they were. I don't even remember what the company that did the research was called, but then some guy from The Atlantic actually did the digging and actually was able to interview someone from the survey company and found out it was only like 4% of people thought Corona caused coronavirus and that they altered the stats over people who said they just didn't drink Corona beer and just made it sound like they didn't drink it because they
So those 4% of people.
Agreed.
And Corona sucks anyway, so nobody should be drinking it.
Agreed. All these are agreed. I think the thing that bothered me about it, because this was another thing, I was like, I don't know if you guys remember this, like 2 years ago, there was this thing going around Twitter that some guy had used some guy had bought a bunch of Chuck E. Cheese coins because someone told them they were Bitcoins. And everyone's like, look how stupid this guy is. And then you look into it and like none of that happened. Like those were things that didn't happen. And I think that's where I get like a little nervous, because it's like, if the same people, I think, that are like, you shouldn't, you know, there's no such thing as fake news. Like, the, you know, Trump's an idiot. Like, and then my parents and my grandparents just believe everything Fox News tells them and they don't bother to look into it. When we're that quickly ready to believe that, like, people are dumb, people are dumb, people are dumb, and we're not going to question it, like, there's a little bit of hypocrisy, I think, to that. And I think it's important to, like, always question it. Like, always look into, like, what's being told. If it's coming directly from what's considered a generally reputable source, that's fine. But if you're just hearing through, like, Twitter or the internet that, like, 40% of people think Corona beer causes coronavirus, you know, all these people are buying Chuck E. Cheese tokens thinking they're Bitcoin, like, who's saying that? Where's that coming from? Where are they getting that story from? And it bothers me that like people are so quick to want to believe those, you know what I mean? Like that people are so quick to want to believe bad things about
people. And it comes from Schadenfreude. It's they want to take pleasure in other people's misery.
Well, so there's a whole like subreddit called That Didn't Happen. Are either of you familiar with that?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So like, and there are people that tweet shit or put it on Instagram that say certain things happen, and like I found out a week ago that this was a thing, that this Reddit was a thing, and I was going through it and I was just like these That Didn't Happen things. There has been probably 50 times in the last 2 years that I've read a tweet or a post on Facebook and been like, that's not true, that's not true, because that doesn't fucking happen. And like, so when those people who are putting that content out there, the ones who are like, oh, hey, this thing happened to me, and then it comes to find out that that never happened, like, I do laugh at those people. Like, you were attention-seeking, and now you're getting attention for the reason you didn't want to get attention for, so fuck you, you deserve it.
Jussie Smollett.
Who?
Jussie Smollett. Do you remember that? Mm-mm. So Jussie Smollett was about a year ago. He's an actor, and, like, all of his siblings are actors. What he did was he was in Chicago one night. He's a black actor. He's gay. He was on Empire.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, and he got jumped by these guys who put a noose around his neck and threw bleach on him and called him, like, the F word and all this other sort of stuff. And then come to find out, like, none of that happened. And it was all, like, he paid them and all that shit. No, it's funny you mentioned that didn't happen. Joel McHale, The Soup went off the air. I don't know if you ever used to watch The Soup. Then Joel McHale started a show called The Joel McHale Show on Netflix, which also went off there, which was devastating because I love every single one of the shows. But they had a segment on The Joel McHale Show that was them reenacting Reddit posts from that didn't happen. So they would basically just reenact this whole thing of like the story. And most of the stories would, after a while, started ending in, and then the whole room clapped, or then the whole room stood up and clapped sort of thing. So that became like a meme, was just like, and then like everyone started clapping. That became like a meme. So then I got super into, I don't know if you guys are into tag groups at all on Facebook.
I'm not on Facebook anymore, so I don't know what that is, but.
So tag groups are like, basically like if I wanted to tag, like right now, just like on its simplest level, like if somebody was on Facebook and they were like, hey, is there any good like comedy pages to follow on Facebook? I would just do @ and then Cleveland Akron comedy page. And that's like I'm tagging the group essentially. That's sort of in its simplistic. But eventually there started being these groups that were like, that child didn't say that. And like just the actual groups, but you tag them so it shows up in bold, like in the comments thing.
Yeah.
So I'm obsessed with these things now. And there's actually one that says, and then the concept of clapping began to clap. And that's one of my favorite ones. Like, because it's basically like people going on there and like purposefully trying to like write fake, like that didn't happen stories. Or if they see like a that didn't happen, they screenshot it and post it like on this group so that, you know, everyone can laugh at it.
I kind of want to go into half the posts and I bombed and cross post them to That Didn't Happen.
I've never seen I bombed. Is that kind of like that?
I bombed is comics telling their best bombing stories. And then the guy that created the group ended up making a show out of it, which makes it seem a little iffy to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As soon as you create a thing like that, that's like therapeutic, like, hey, we can all relate to this, and now you've monetized it, I am no longer interested.
Okay, I mean, I could be on that show and be 100% honest that it would do numbers, because the times that I bombed are like legendary. So I mean,
some of these bombs that have been posted have been pretty good.
Jess, did you ever hear I won't tell the whole story because maybe I'll go on and post it. Did you ever hear the story about when I was all fucked up? When I was hosting a mic, I was all fucked up, booze and pills. And I was hosting, and in between comics told the same joke 3 times in a row and didn't realize it.
Yes! I've heard you tell that story on here, and it's hilarious because I feel like I've definitely done the same thing where I totally forgot I just said that and then just said it again.
Okay. It was just damning. Like, it was just like, the first time, like, people laughed. The second time, people were like, oh, he got to laugh, so he's thinking he's being funny by doing it again. The third time I stopped mid-joke, and I was like, wait, I've already told this.
See, I feel like you should have...
And he just goes twice.
I feel like you should have just leaned into it, like that whole aren't you glad I didn't say banana joke, where you just keep telling it over and over and over.
Absolutely. I should have. I don't know if you remember that night, but like I just picked it up and continued on like nothing had happened. The show must go on.
Well, yeah, you were all fucked up on pills. That's what you do when you're fucked up on pills.
Show must go on.
Things must continue to happen. That is why I'm on the pills.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've gotten out of Schadenfreude like on small scale only because working in the field that I work in, I'm watching people suffering all the time and it's not fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's different suffering though. If we get down to like the nitty gritty of like legitimately people suffering, no, if you take any joy in that, you're not sociopathic, you're psychotic. And you should fucking see a doctor. But like, if somebody this is kind of, I guess, my philosophy on it. Like, we all make mistakes and do stupid shit that we're ashamed of. How you own it is how the rest of the world can treat it. Like, I subscribe, and I've said this a million times in the podcast before, I subscribe to like the Kevin Smith, idea of it. Like, if you don't want to be around it, you don't have to. You don't have to follow. You don't have to give your money. You don't have to do any of that. But like, if somebody's being a fucking asshole and they're, like you said, karma, like you likened it to karma. Yes, I think I feel all those people deserve to be made fun of. But like, no, if somebody's dying in a hospital from something stupid they did, like, I'm generally not going to be like, well, I guess they deserve that. I'd be like, well, that was stupid. If that makes sense.
I mean, there are certain people that I want to watch die in a hospital bed, and I want to, like...
Yeah, me too, but that's not the point.
I mean, it kind of is, though. Like, how deep do you want to go into what is suffering that you can take enjoyment out of?
What is Schadenfreude? Yeah, and you think about the history of Germans. I mean, of course they have a word for this. You know what I mean? Like, they are the quintessential culture that enjoyed, that derived pleasure from torturing and murdering millions of people. So,
yeah, that's their deal.
That's like another one of my favorite Office quotes is when I think it's bring your kid to work day or whatever. I think like season 2 maybe, and Dwight is reading the kids like an old Germanic bedtime story. And Michael comes in there and knock it off, Dwight. Nobody wants to hear any books that your Nazi war criminal grandmother wrote.
I love it because the thing I love about that is that's a real thing. Like, Germans had these like cautionary fairy tales they tell their kids where they would cut off your hands if you like sucked your thumbs or some shit. And, and then it always makes me think of, like, it's not that episode, but it's later. He's like, learn your rules. You've got to learn your rules. If you don't, you'll get eaten by a bear.
Belschnickel.
Belschnickel. Yeah, no, I and that's the thing. You make a really great point. Is like, at what level is it Schadenfreude, and what level is it just like that's karma? And I think there's just so many levels and degrees of like taking deriving pleasure in suffering, and what's considered suffering, and all those sorts of things. So that's why I can't, like, my crazy empathness. It sucks so hard for me because I have a hard time watching most movies and TV shows if they're really, really violent, like if they're torturing people or things like that. It gets to me. Like, it fucks with me. And I wish I didn't, I guess, like, take it so seriously, I guess, maybe, like, because that was a big reason I couldn't watch Game of Thrones. Like, I shit on Game of Thrones a lot, but a lot of it was just because I'd like to watch it, but there are scenes where there's, like, a lot of rape, and there's a lot of, like, things where I'm just like, like, I can't, it's hard for me.
Hey, sorry, I don't mean to stop you. Am I back? Can you guys?
Yeah.
You're back.
All right, cool.
You're good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I completely get that. I like had to, what was that movie? Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. I had to like stop it and decompress after a certain point that,
what?
There was a,
God damn it. Pretty, what the fuck?
Oh my god, this is so great. Sorry.
That's okay. This is Jordan trying to move around doing the podcast.
there was a crash for people at home. There was a crash, and then Jordan's screen went blank, and then Jeremy's picture turned into a photo of him wearing shaving cream topless, and I just lost my shit. Like, I just laughed.
Oh, really, that's not shaving cream, that's sour cream.
Oh, sour cream. Okay, yeah. All I saw was a picture of Jeremy topless wearing sour cream with glasses on over top of the sour cream, and I lost my shit. I couldn't contain it anymore.
Yeah, so that's I found excess sour cream, and I was like, "What do I do with this?" Hey,
sorry, I missed that. I walked downstairs for a second, and I lost contact. First contact.
Yeah. So don't do that.
Sorry about that. So whatever I missed, ha 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 ha.
Perfect. So just where can we
play? Oh wait, I'm sorry. LOL.
LOL.
So just where can we find you?
Are we done? I missed the last 5 minutes of the show. It's always the best part.
Oh my god. You can find me, Jeremy, on the internet. You can find me on the internet. You can find me at Epic Fall on Twitter and Instagram. And
let me unconnect. It's all fucked up, man. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. That's why I'm laughing so hard. Because we'll start to talk and you're like, hey, wait.
My headphones and reconnect them.
Oh my god. Is it every week like this? Probably not, because you guys aren't normally on Zoom.
What the fuck?
No, we're not. This is our first Zoom.
Yay! I'm the inaugural Zoom. The thing I hate about Zoom is I was getting ready to plug my podcast, which has been kind of shitty lately.
We do everything on
Zoom, because almost exclusively all of my guests have been in Cleveland. So I've been interviewing all of them through Zoom. And the thing that's hard about Zoom, the hardest part is you step on each other a lot, as you've seen, as exhibited by what we've just experienced, because there's that weird little tiny millisecond delay between when you say something and when somebody hears it. So, and it's funny, I find myself editing it a lot, because a lot of times it sounds like I'm just talking and everyone's like, what the fuck is she talking about? Because there's like a 3 second silence between when I say something and when somebody else says something.
Welcome to my life.
So that's all. That's like the hardest part about the Zoom interviews, is just there's that weird sort of like lack of flow and this awkward like, no, you go. So I don't know how much podcasting is going to suffer in the next probably 8 weeks over this, but I had a lot of fun talking to you guys. It was just super fun.
Yes, this was great.
Def- You should definitely check out my podcast default setting. I kept meaning to do a finale episode, but like I've interviewed literally everyone back home and I was trying not to do duplicate episodes, but you guys are doing duplicate episodes of like guests. So I feel like now I can, because other people are doing
Our rule was once we hit 100, that was just our rule.
That's actually...
But at first we were going to be like after 50, but because we kept getting so many people, we're like, well, let's challenge ourselves to, you know, make it 100 before we bring somebody back on. And every guest we've brought back on and has been a fantastic show.
Yeah. I mean, the one person, I think I've only done one in person. No, I've done two. I did Vishnu, because Vishnu's out here now, Vishnu Akella. And then I did my friend Wells Hillblom, which I'm going to plug this episode, by the way. You guys really need to listen to the Wells Hillblom episode of my podcast, The Default Setting. I'm not going to like completely out him and like all the things you need to know about him. But if you just Google his last name, Hillblom, you're going to find out some really, really insane shit, which I'll tell you guys about once we're no longer recording. Sure. But I think you guys, everybody needs to listen to that episode of the podcast, because he is the most interesting person I'll probably ever interview on that show. So everybody should definitely check
behind me, behind me,
behind, behind you two.
Not Sheer, just me. We all know that I'm the light of the show.
You crazy, interesting bastards.
I know. We just have so much to say.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates Schadenfreude as much as Jess Falstick.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.